Blog Talk Radio.
Witches, welcome to Desperate House Witches. This is Dorian Wallace, joined as always by my lovely sister Raina.
Hey! Okay, listen. Give your shout out.
Closer to the phone, sweetie. I can barely hear you.
Go ahead. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me
now? Yeah, I can hear you now, Jared.
Okay. Go ahead and give your shout out, and then I'll do the disclaimer, and then we'll launch this motherfucker. Ooh, I did that early, didn't I?
I'm going to give my weekly shout out to my cousin Jessica, who I saw on Sunday. I'm going to send you a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips, and you can bring that back up to New Jersey with you. Love you, Jess.
Yeah. Love you, Jess. Okay, so here's your disclaimer. I should have given it before I even opened my mouth, but you know how I am. Anyway.
Oh, they know us by now.
Well, some of them may not. You never know. So, let me go ahead and start. This is not a G-rated show. It is not a PG-rated show. We would barely qualify for an X. Well, an X rating. Anyway. So, if you have anybody who's especially sensitive to bad language, foul temperaments, dirty talk of any kind, you may want to get out of the room or exit whoever is with you out of the room as soon as possible, because once I hit the countdown, you're SOL. 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, bitches, what's up? Okay, so listen. It has been an interesting week. It has been physically an interesting week. It has been psychologically an interesting week. A lot of shit has gone on. So, first thing I want to talk about is an interesting factoid, and again, men, I'm really sorry, but this is something I have to bring up. And no one explains this to younger women, so I'm here to lay down some truth on you. Older, and you start rapidly approaching menopause, and I know you 20 and 30-year-old, you know, 30-somethings, 20-somethings, you're not thinking about this. Your 40-somethings are probably not considering this shit either. Auntie Rain is going to tell you some truth. And I found this out from a fellow over 50-year-old today. Apparently, your boobs, sagging is not the least of your problems when it comes to the boobage area. As you get older, they get bigger. Now, for some of you, that will be a blessing. For others of you, that may not be such a blessing. But for whatever reason, along with the thickening process of your person, your tits grow. I'm like, really? Oh. Really? Really? And yes, and no one told me this as I was growing up. No one fully explained the menopause that wreaks havoc on your life forever, okay? The foot swelling, the cramping in the fingers. No one talks about this shit. And obviously, it is not just a witch issue. It is a female issue. I am more than just a witch, as you all fucking know. We are people, like everybody else. Going through the same motherfucking life struggles as everybody else. We are very much regular folks. We just believe the old gods. There you go. Big difference. That's it. So anyway, yeah. I'm going through this unbelievable stress right now because apparently my boobs are going to grow again. I'm like, really? Does this need to happen? Not
lovely.
Fun. Not enjoying.
Why can't this shit happen when we want it to?
Because then it would make sense.
Yeah.
And things just don't apparently make sense. All that wisdom and shit that you're growing now, I really could have used all of that, oh, I don't know, 30 years ago.
Right?
If I had half the working brain power then that I have now, not saying I have that much working, but it's still more than it was, I could have, like, owned a nation. I have no idea where it all comes from. Because it's like the wisdom kind of hits you at the last minute on the final end of the journey. I'm like, really? Now? Now is when I get to learn it. Okay, great. Thanks. Appreciate you.
But see,
peace
that's
out.
Actually, that's part of the joy of it. Because as you get older and you learn things and you accumulate knowledge, you know, you try to pass it on to the younger generation as you know, folks tried to pass it on to us when we were kids. And, you know, as kids, you don't want to take anybody's advice because you think you know everything.
Hilarious.
Then comes the joyous part where we get to sit back and laugh at your asses for making the same damn dumb mistake that we did.
Well, and here's the killer. My mother's birthday. She is still alive. My mother's birthday was, yesterday. And I called her up, and it's fun to still be able to make an old lady laugh because, you know, my mother, as many people know, is a Pentecostal preacher. Now, you put the two of us in a room together discussing religion, and it gets very ugly very fast. But aside from that, because she is a lot slower now and advancing in age, I have half a shot. So, you know, I was very happy to be able to make her laugh and smile and lighten up because they get real weepy. I don't know, 70-something hits and they cry at the drop of a hat. You are instructed right now that if I start becoming like that in my 70s, you are to smack me repeatedly in the head until, A, I either start laughing or, B, I am unconscious. Thank you very much.
I'll just flash my boobs. That'll make you laugh.
I'll roll on the fucking floor. That would be hilarious. You should do that to me anyway, just because it would be funny. Anyway, so enough of our weird family history. Just before we went on the air, I was holding my sides and rolling on the floor. No, not for that reason, but because I was watching my so far favorite scene of this season's Game of Thrones, when Joffrey bites the big one. I have never taken such pleasure in watching a character die on TV in my life. But watching that little shit bite it made me about as happy as I could be. So
I think it could have gone on longer and a bit more painful, but you know what? So be it.
Oh, and I want to talk about the little bit of controversy that I keep hearing and seeing on Facebook about the, and I'm going to say, quote-unquote, rape of Cersei by her brother Jaime. Let's face it. We know who this woman really is in the show, and if she really wanted him to stop, I think she really could have stopped him. I'm not buying the whole... How could he do that? Well, first of all, they're already fucking and they're brother and sister, so how could they be doing that to begin with? It's part of the story. Get over
oh,
it.
Yeah, and in front of their son's corpse.
I don't think it... I have some firsthand experience with sexual assault, and if she really, as powerful as she is, all she had to do was scream, and the guards would have come running. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. She wanted to pretend that she didn't want it.
Yeah, but I was not buying the act, and I figured nobody else was buying the act either. And then I'm reading on Facebook that people are freaking the fuck out. I'm like, are you? First of all, you do know it's a TV show, right? Just saying. Apparently,
yeah.
People take this stuff very seriously. And I would like to remind people that there was a time when everyone took True Blood that seriously, and you see where that got you. We're about to have the last season. Why? Because Lord. So.
Oh, my God. But they,
remember?
Uh-huh. Yes. Oh, no. And I'm going to miss me some Lafayette. I love my girl. I love him. But I got to say, it's just, they just, what the hell happened to that? I mean, they've got really good books. I mean, Charlaine is a really good writer. You know, and
yeah,
then they just kind of dropped the fucking ball on that shit.
Oh, no. Dropped the ball. They screwed the pooch and jumped the shark. It became a mess. It just became this really disjointed, Bill's going to turn evil, what seemed to be out of the clear blue sky. Things were just, you did not see an evolution that made a whole lot of sense. I will say this about Game of Thrones, and I'm a huge Game of Thrones fan. The thing about Game of Thrones is you see the characters are not all one thing. You see a lot of their humanity and a lot of their shittiness. And a lot of what just makes them people, which I think is really good. It just shows people are not all one thing. You know, everyone's not 100% good or bad. So I just like the character development better in Game of Thrones, but they could have done a lot better with True Blood. But enough about my TV feelings, silly as that is. So I've noticed something very interesting in the last couple of weeks, especially in this last week. When you work with people who don't follow the same path we do, it gets kind of interesting when you say something to somebody and they look at you as though you had been bugging their bedroom. In essence, I had this particular conversation with someone I work with today, and I said, "Hey, this occurred to me yesterday, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da." And she said, "What else are you picking up on?" That is now becoming the habit at work.
Huh.
"Are you picking up anything? Are you picking up anything right now? Can you tell me if you know something?" And I'm like, "I told you I would tell you if I knew anything or if I picked up on anything." And I'm like, "Why are you asking me?" And she says, "Because this is exactly what I was thinking last night, everything that you just said."
Huh.
And I've been saying stuff to her for the past couple of months, ever since the other person left, remember, that I told you about?
Yeah.
And I said to her, "I had an inkling a year ago, but I didn't want to say anything because I couldn't prove it." And she kind of looked at me, and I said, "I promise I'll never not tell you when I'm picking up on something again." So now I'm like a reference point. It's hilarious. "What do you think about this? What do you think about this? What do you think about this?" I'm like, and I'm just cracking up because it's so cute to watch. It's like, she's like, and you could see a little lights go off like, "Oh, I have a personal witch." It's like having my own little easy button. You remember the commercial with the big red easy button for Staples?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when she needs an answer. It's like, "I'm going to go press the witch and see what the witch says." It's hilarious. I'm like, "Oh, wow, I suddenly became a toy." But it's all good-natured, and it's to hurt anybody. It's all for just general, what's in the universe, and what am I picking up, and is she on the right track, and stuff like that. It's not abusive at all, and if it ever became abusive, I would obviously say so. I mean, you have to be careful that people are like, "Oh, look, instant witch, just add water." And I'm always very leery of stuff like that. It's like, and I'm also very leery of people who think, you know, "Well, you're a witch, you should know everything." No, we're not fucking omnipotent.
No,
you
know, that's not the way it works. And see,
it's
that's another reason.
Yeah.
That's another reason why these TV psychics and like the Sylvia Browns of the world and stuff like that. You know, you don't know everything all the time. The answers come when they're supposed to. And, you know, and sometimes they come at a very inconvenient time. Like I know I've relayed this story once or twice where, you know, I've been in, it's like standing in near proximity of a person and their loved one who has passed on is like, you need to tell her I'm here. You need to tell her I'm here. I want to tell her something. And it's like, I can feel that that person would not be receptive to that. You know, and they don't like that. But, you know, it's not like we can just pull answers out of our ass. They come when they need to.
I know, and it's hilarious because I see a lot of people do that. I will be like, oh, well, if you're my friend, I am going to, like, not in a bad way, but I'm going to absorb some of you by being around
you. Yeah.
And it is possible that, you know, people can, if they're open to it, pick up stuff. I mean, it's not like, no, this is special and it's mine and I don't share it with anyone except my high priest on every other Sabbat or no. You know what I mean? It's like, if you're open to it, you're open to it. If you're not open to it, you're not open to it. And it all goes back to that little voice that tells you the difference between right and wrong. If you question it too much, well, that's your own power you're questioning. So pay a little more attention to your settles, you know?
Exactly.
But I don't mind helping. I mean, it's kind of cute and it's kind of fun. And you know, I'm like waiting for the novelty to wear off because it's a recent thing, you know, in the last couple of months where it's like, ooh, I'm going to pick your brain and see what your brain has in it and there you go. You know, so it's cute right now. It's, like I said, it's not abusive, and if it was, I would say something. It's just very cute, and I think she has enough experience with folks like us that, it, you know, she knows that there's just some things we don't fucking know everything. She's not an idiot, so. But I just think it's cute. Yeah, no, yes. It's really kind of, it's sweet, actually. I think you'd appreciate it, because it's like, you get anything, you know, just like that sheepish little, are you picking up anything? Are you getting anything? There's stuff going on. Do you know anything about it? And I'm like,
aww.
I'm just telling you what I'm getting. It's like, thought about last night, and it's so weird. And I'm like, it's not weird. We're connected. We've been connected for years. You just didn't realize I was connected to other shit. That's all. So it's really
That's funny. Well, and I've noticed an influx, you know, because this time of year, you know, a lot of people forget that, you know, this time of year the veil gets thinner again. You know, it gets thinner right around Beltane and it gets thinner right around Samhain.
Yeah.
I've been hearing conversations. I mean, literally,
again?
Like, you know, very, yeah, they're
like,
back. It's
like
not the same ones.
Okay.
This is
that's so weird.
Yeah, it's two guys talking, and I can hear it just, it's almost like when somebody passes by your house, and you can hear their radio on, and you can hear the, you know, Charlie Brown muffled moo, 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 moo type of shit. That's basically what I'm hearing. You know,
oh,
so
I have to tell you this, Inyo, because I'm going to forget
okay.
if I don't tell you right now. That happened to me for the first time in over a year yesterday, and then it happened again today, and I kept turning around.
That's okay. That's when it started, was yesterday.
Oh.
Maybe. I wonder if we're in between the conversation again like we were last time.
It has happened before. It has happened
and
before.
I've been seeing stuff out of the corner of my eyes again.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been
It's driving me crazy. It's driving me crazy. I'm so glad you said that because I didn't want to say anything because it started freaking me out because sometimes when you start seeing things out of the corner of your eye, you think it's your eyes that are the problem. You don't realize that you're actually no, dummy, there is really something there. But, yeah, it's been freaking me out because for the past couple of days, I'm seeing shit, too. Oh, I'm so glad you said that. Oh, what a relief. I was scared.
And it's not just shadows.
Okay,
like, when
yeah.
they pass through the hallway, whoever it is, you know, I'll see a shadow. But sometimes in the living room, I'll see light going past. And it's not like, you know, because we're right on a busy corner. And, you know, sometimes you'll see, like, the light flashing off the windshield or the back windshield of the cars. But it's not. It's like, you know, in places in midair where the light never hits. It's like, oh, okay, I saw you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've been saying every single time, I'm like, if you've got something to say, just talk to me. You know, because at this point in my life, I'm not scared anymore of them talking to me. But when I was younger, I was. I was like, I don't want to hear it. You know, just show me pictures in my head.
Creepy. Yeah. Yeah, it's easier when it's just in your head. It really is.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's funny that you say that because I noticed it was happening at the country house yesterday, but then it started happening in the office today, and there is no light from outside, and it doesn't there is nothing to reflect off of. So today it was freaking me out because it was at the friggin' office, and I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. I thought it was my eyes. And I just went to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor's like, yeah, you're old. Things are progressing normally or not. You know what I mean? But, yeah. So
no, it's
I
not just
like,
your eyes.
Okay, good. It's a relief because I was getting worried again for myself. I'm like, what the hell? You know, it
no,
gets to a point where things start breaking down on the body and in the body, and you're just not fucking sure.
Yeah, and that was the first few times I kind of dismissed it, like, okay, maybe it was the cats, and I'm like, no, that because I have two, you know, one black cat and one is a tortoise hare, and she's very dark, you know, but I'm like, no, the cats can't walk. First of all, not that level, in the hallway, up against the wall. You know, because I'll see them every once in a while, but they're on the floor. You know, and a couple times, the first few times I thought, fuck, they're getting on the counter, so I'm going to have to go in there and swat them. You know, and I go in, and one's laying on our bed, and the other one is in the hallway. And I'm like, oh, okay, that wasn't the cat. Okay, it was probably just a shadow from something, you know, and you try to explain it away the first couple times, but, you know, after the 10th or the 20th time, it's like, okay, you know, that's right, the veil is thinning. I had totally forgotten about it.
Well, so had I. I'm busy all day. I cannot pay attention to everything, so I sometimes forget shit, and I'm like, oh, I'm losing it. And, oh, okay, I'm not. That's good. That's a very good thing to know because I was getting scared for myself. Do you want to pick cards?
No, it's not just you. We've got a few minutes. I'm going to pull three this time. I'm going to pull as well. Okay.
And
all right,
while
you are
we're doing that, I'm sure. Let's sing it.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Ooh,
I put a little bit of soul in there.
I know. Hey, hello. I want to give a shout out. Everybody, keep your eyes open for some new stuff from Dorothy Morrison. The Wicked Witch herself is crafting some new goodies. I can't wait.
Woo!
I know. So big shout out to Dorothy. All right, you ready?
And also a big shout out, a big happy birthday shout out to one of our listeners. Is it Avery Lee or Lee Avery? I am so sorry. I forgot the order that your name goes in. But happy birthday.
Happy
we
birthday.
Saw you earlier.
Hello.
All right. I'm going to pull uno. dose.
Yeah.
Trace. All right. Let's see what we got.
I'm ready. I've pulled already.
Go for it. You read first, because I read the first
right.
last time.
All right. Actually, you read by yourself last time. I didn't read at all.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I know. You're all right. No, you're fine. Okay. Now, this is a card I almost never pull. I think I may have pulled this card one time before. So this is a good sign. So check out this reading. Good time for bold decisions. Next card is unexpected money. Third card is seize the opportunity to travel. Whoever this is for, motherfucker, you have stepped in some serious good shit. Enjoy that shit. Make the big life change. It's time. You know who you are. You are ready. You know you're ready. Go on and do it. The money will be there. And then guess what? You're getting on a plane. Enjoy the fuck out of it. Enjoy yourself. God, I wish it was me.
Oh, I know. Don't we all need a vacation?
Just saying. Hit it. Chicklet.
All right. First one I got is good news from a close friend. You know what? I know what this is, and I'm not going to spoil the surprise. But this is a female friend that is going to tell you. So you guess from there. But I'm not spoiling the surprise because this is going to be sometime this weekend or next week that they are going to tell you. Second card, irritation. Does a lot of good. Telling you, quit being such a hermit. It's spring, break out of your shell, get out there, go flirt your little heart out. Whether you're serious about it or not, flirt with full sexes. Just be open. It will give you that confidence that you've been lacking. Just flirt randomly. And that's for a different person. Third card, pay debts to escape trouble. This is someone, I know you want to go have fun. We all do. But you got to pay your bills, mama. You cannot play until you pay. Because you will dig your hole way deeper than you ever expected to. Way quicker than you ever expected to. And you're already ankle deep as it is.
She said hole. I'm a big child. I can't help it.
You are a 12-year-old boy. But yeah.
14-year-old boy.
14? Okay, I'll give you that. I'm the 12-year-old. Mm-hmm. I know it's tempting. And it's really hard to tell your friends no, but you really have to, because this is just going to get way worse for you. And you know what? I can already feel you're not going to listen to me. There is going to be no safety net there to help you. Mommy and Daddy cannot help you this time.
Uh-oh.
So just... You can get mad, you can get frustrated, you can sit there and pout and scream and punch your pillow all you want. Pay your bills first. I'm dead serious.
That's what chickens to do. That's right.
Exactly. So that is my reason.
Yes. Excellent.
We have Miss Jade on the line.
Fan fucking tastic. Bring him on.
All right. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
I got all excited.
Ranger,
I came on. I hear you cannot play until you pay. I'm like, well, right on. It's another good show again.
Yeah.
But you guys,
I
learned what pull three stands for because right when I popped on, I heard pull three. I had no idea what pull three meant, so I just got to learn what pull three means, and. How you guys doing?
Doing good. How are you?
Doing well under these crazy ecliptic times.
Yes, tell me.
Yes.
We had the big eclipse on the 14th, and then we have another one here on the 28th. And we're right in the middle of the two. And it's pretty intense, you know. I mean, especially my job. I mean, crazy, crazy things have been going on. You know, a lot of problems. You know, I don't want to get all depressing. Lost a couple clients last week. Heavy stuff, you know.
Aww,
pretty big
wow.
stuff out there. Yeah, and lost meaning one person passed away and another person
oh
went
goodness.
To a coma. And it's not looking
wow.
good. But under ecliptic times, the universe just purifies a bunch of shit at once. That's what they're made to do. And
yep.
these eclipses are, there's a lot of power behind them. And we're going to have another one in October after these are done. And the one in October, I believe, is a game changer. And because, you know, you can't use, you know, when we talk about December 21st, 2012, you know, can't believe it.
Oh,
I feel
yeah.
like that was yesterday. But you
yeah.
can't use a culture that used a lunar calendar. They didn't use a solar calendar. And then come up with dates with a solar calendar. You can't do that. They're not the same. So those dates of December 21st, 2012 point more towards the end of this year when you use a
wow.
lunar calendar. So that eclipse on the 23rd of October later this year is going to open up some pretty powerful things. And I think a lot of the changes that, you know, were expected in December 21st, 2012 are going to be more or less pointing towards the end of this year.
Oh, wow.
But, you know,
that actually explains a lot.
Yeah, you know, and it's just this whole thing with astrology. I mean, it's just such a goofy experience because really it doesn't require a lot of study to kind of come up with the same things that I've come up with. You know, Western astrology is not using an astrology system out there. They're using an ancient calendar that was not used for a zodiac. You know, and the very first day of the year is always spring equinox, March 21st, always is. That's the reason why October means month number 8. November, month number 9. You start it right there. Now, this is what Western astrology is using is the ancient calendar, not the zodiac. So, but anyways, everything's just kind of, you know, in the world of astrology, nobody knows what the hell they're doing, you know, and knows what they're talking about. I just had someone sending me these blogs about Western astrology and these eclipses and what they mean. And, you know, astrology is such a deep and powerful science. You know, even in India, you don't give readings until you've had at least 7 years of solid education about the subject of astrology. We hear, you know, people read Linda Goodman's sun signs, and all of a sudden they become astrologers.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
But so the problem with using the wrong zodiac, it makes pivotal errors, you know, that are really important that you don't make. Like, you know, December 21st, 2012, that whole thing started not because the Mayans talked about December 21st, 2012. It's because Western astrologers try to find their dates inside of our astrology system, which can't actually be done because they're totally different. The Mayans knew what they were doing, where, you know, Western astrology doesn't. But so this is that year. This is the year. I don't like the fact that this thing, these issues with Russia are heating up right in between these two eclipses. I don't like that very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what is going on right now is supposed to somewhat spell what's going to take place later in this year. And yet the eclipse on the 23rd of October is a little bit bigger. Energetically, not visibly, but energetically it's a little bit bigger. And this right now is supposed to be a preview into what goes on. And that whole ferry disaster, that was like it was one of the most horrific things, that thing in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That ferry turned over. That happened
those
during the
kids.
Eclipse. And then, so I've been paying attention universally what's happening now because it's supposed to be somewhat of a preview of what we're going to see later this year.
Oh, crap. That's not good.
Well, I was having a relaxing moment a minute ago. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I came in and I ruined the pull three, and you can't play until you pay.
No, it actually speaks to what you're saying, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does,
yeah.
Unfortunately. So, yeah, it's crazy time. You know, this is a time where, you know, my business picks up because of so many people calling saying, what the hell is going on? And I don't have a business where I can deal with emergencies. I'm booked too far out. So people have immediate problems. I can't do anything about it. But so it just kind of creates a lot of stress and a lot of tension. So how are you guys doing? What have you guys been up to?
Actually, I'm doing pretty good today. You know, it's been a hell of a year. I mean, oh, my God. It's been an awful year so far. But the past couple weeks have been, I don't know, they've actually been getting better. And today, nothing is scheduled, really, but I was really excited about today. I don't know why. I felt something great and wonderful and magnificent was going to happen.
Well,
aside from tripping over my words.
You know, it's I do think things are kind of lining up right now. I mean, and also it's just I'm back on the show, and I haven't been for a while, and for me personally, I couldn't wait for today so I could get back on this show because the time you guys shifted. Now, I'm going to correct this from this point on. The new hour you guys have, I'll be able to make it. But, yeah, no, it's nice to come back and hang out. It's fun. I missed our time. When
well,
was the last time we did
this?
Here.
Oh, God,
yeah,
it
we
was
January?
I think December. January or
it
December.
It has been that long?
Yeah.
It's been a while there, babe. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Boy, time just came. Yeah, that's right. We're already, like, at the end of April, and it's 2014.
I know. Isn't that
wow,
crazy? 2014.
I remember, like, it was yesterday, that whole Y2K thing when everybody thought the power was going to go out on the planet, like, on 2000.
Yeah.
Like, that was 14 years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the great advantages of, you know, getting older year after year is, you know, Buddhists and Hindus say there really isn't time. And as you get older, you can sense that. Like when you interact with someone you knew in, like, elementary school, and you go right back into that role that you had when you knew them when you were, like, six, you know.
Yeah.
Yep.
Time, you know, we have these bodies that do age and do the things that they do, but really in between, and you can actually start to feel that there really isn't time. You know, there's all these pulls of memories and, you know, I don't know. You can just kind of feel that linear energy of time now. Maybe that's my personal experience. I tried to have this conversation with someone before, and they're like, no, all I do is feel is getting older. Where I feel, you know, those energies you have when you're youthful, you know, when you're young, almost like a child, there's this incredible blissful energy that's in the child state. That Hindus also stress is in the old age state. You're just conscious of it. You're aware. And really what it is you're coming from the afterlife when you're a child, and you're going towards the afterlife as you get older. You're heading in the same energy, and there's the same palpable vibration on both sides. And there are certain ages you get to where you start feeling the bliss of the other side as you get older. Which for some people, it terrifies them because that subconscious feeling reminds them of not being in control or the death of the body, things of that nature. But if you're awake and you clear your fear out of those things, you start to access the same powers that you had when you were a child. And the closer you get to the end of the game, the more you can utilize these incredible youthful energies. Kind of a weird.
That's good to know.
And that's just me. You know, all spiritual experiences come from the other side. You know, like when yogis in India are drawing incredible powers of bliss moving through their body, they're really just pulling the other side through. That's all that it is. You know, like a saint is someone that has died and went to the afterlife while staying in their body. That's why in India they always say, die while you're alive. That means you can obtain the afterlife while you stay embodied, which they consider in India to be the seat of Yama, which is the seat of Hades, where you actually have died. You went to the other side, but your body sustained, so you just draw the energy of the other realms through. And so when you're in India, when you're around these incredibly enlightened beings, you can tell they're gone, and their spirit has absorbed itself in that other side, yet they still have a physical body. So then their job becomes to distribute that energy to people. That's what in India they call Shaktipat. It's just igniting someone with energy that is from the other side. So really, you know, the only thing that really exists from the tantric Kali point of view is death. That's it. These bodies are temporary. The links you have in between your body and your next life are much longer than you being embodied. So that other side really is home. We're separated from that here. And yes.
I'm sorry. I was gonna say, speaking of the other side, you know, I had mentioned it, and Raina was like, "Oh my God, I'm you know, you too." But I've been hearing voices, like low mumbling, like a conversation. And she and I went through this. Oh God, what was it? A year, 2 years ago, something like that.
We were on either side
of a conversation.
Yeah, it was weird. As a matter of fact, sis, I remember one of the first shows that Jade did with us, we talked about it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're going through it again.
Well, you know, and it's interesting to note, there are, obviously, as we know, there are many types of spirits. There are ghosts, people who have dropped their body, didn't really feel like moving on to the afterlife, felt like kind of hanging out here for a while. And then there are spirits. And how you can tell the difference between one, if you don't have the sight where you can visibly see them, which is a lot of really neat practices in India, you learn how to see ghosts. And remember this, your whites of your eyes see spirit energy, where your pupils take energy and they can only see matter. So your pupils can't see ghosts or spirits, but the whites of your eyes can. So there are practices, like a good example would be like seeing a ghost at the corner of your eye, and then you look at it directly and there's nothing there. There's a training you go through in India of where you learn how to see visibly through the whites of your eyes, and then you start having these experiences. But ghosts human beings move very slowly. And when a ghost touches your body, if you can't visibly see it, it's like being brushed by a very slow energy, where spirits, whether they're angels, demons, or they call them the minutia, spirits that hang out here on Earth, move very fast, and they're very quick. And so, you know, the goal in some tantric philosophies was to know the difference between a ghost and a spirit when they enter your realm, because they serve different purposes. And I just had someone on my Trimurti page. I just opened up a Facebook page to the form of Hecate I worship called Hecate Trimurti, part Kali, part Anodia, and part Kori, Persephone. But I had someone legitimately contact me and say that her son is consistently attacked by a demon.
Oh.
And wanted my advice on, you know, how to handle the situation. And then the strangest thing happened. A day after, someone else contacted me on the same page and said, "I deal with possessions, and someone around me is possessed. What do I do?" In India, we see possession totally differently. And I think I've mentioned this on the show before. If in one life you abuse a demon, make it do things that it does not want to do, that awaits for you to take another birth and then makes you do what you don't want to do. So you don't rush a demon out of someone's body or a negative spirit, because it can come back and kill you and then make you do what you don't want to do without a body. You have to let it run its course. And there are certain practices you do to not so much get the spirit out, but to speed the process up of whatever karma it's trying to, you know, correct with that person.
Oh.
So the first thing I asked her, she said, "I feel the spirit all over me all the time." I said, does it move slow or does it move very fast? I said, "What's the feeling like?" If you can't see it, what happens? And she says, "It moves rapidly." She says, "It moves very quick." And she says, "It'll shoot through my body like in a matter of a second, and with another second, it'll shoot right back through." And she said, "A couple times I fell down." I said, "Okay, we're dealing with a demon now. That means that this is a part of the universe's will." Because ghosts are different, and the things they do can be out of the scope of karma, where if a spirit of any kind is tagged to you and is going to try to bring you harm or bring you joy, which they can also do, it has been allotted by Hecate. She's approved it, so that this is a go. And the karmic circumstances are perfect for this situation. So anyways, you know, it's funny because this ecliptic energy seems to be pulling up a lot of spirits for people. And a lot of people have been having, you know, spiritual experiences with spirits, you know. And so it's an intense eclipse.
Yeah, well, and on top of that, and on top of that, you know, being close to Beltane, you know, the veil is thinner this time of year. So, yeah, that's a lot of ghosties going by.
Yeah, there's a lot. The veil is very thin right now, you can tell, which that doesn't always spell well for, you know, human nature. It can sometimes they're here to, again, Earth is school. That's all it is. It's not our home.
Yeah.
And people talk about, oh, the world is so hard right now, and we're at this escalated stage, and that's why everything is so terrible. I'm like, you know, it is terrible. But can you imagine being alive during World War I or II? I mean,
yes,
it's like that
yeah.
was worse than anything we have seen so far. I mean, there was, you know, a German man massacring Jews. I mean, can you imagine if that would was going on right now? Well, you know, there are some people call that North Korea. There are some people that believe that North Korea is technically that bad. It's just all hidden. But, you know, life is crazy. Earth is just school. And once you, you know, the tantric rule is once you accept the suffering of all this, then you can be free to be happy. It's not really meant to be easy. And I hear people talk about this shit all the time. Oh, I've do so many practices, I do so many this, and things just still suck. Like, well, welcome to Earth, you know, that's what we're here to do. This, I mean, and the goal, the only bliss I really believe that is out there outside of human love, which is the ultimate human high, is to access these incredible spiritual forces and draw them into your life. Because if they're not there, it just gets worse and worse year after year, regardless of what spiritual practice someone is doing. And people don't know that. You know, and one thing I want to address, you know, so there's a lot of people looking right now, searching for spirituality.
Mm-hmm.
There's stages, though, you know, and what bothers me about, and I always bitch and moan about Wicca. Meanwhile, the energy of Wicca, not so much the philosophy, is my favorite. I love paganism. I love the energy that comes off of it. When people start talking about it is when I start to go, ugh. But as a human being, you go through these stages. You know, you start off as in using water as a term because the goal is to merge into the ocean of light, the ocean of the goddess. There's a point where you merge into that ocean of light or the ocean of goddess, and you're done. So along the way, the goal is to open yourself up to that oceanic force. And practice, spiritual practice, specifically chanting, is by far the best way to do that. But as human beings, we go through these stages. And one of the great reasons why it is, one of the great reasons to be around a guru or someone who has achieved that state is you get to drink that oceanic energy from them, which then moves to your body, and then you get to taste that ocean. And that then builds up your lot to be able to open to the ocean. But most people don't have those experiences that open them to the ocean. So there are a lot of gurus out there that are what I call dirty ponds.
Ooh.
And a lot of people, like, because they're thirsty and want to drink something, go drinking from dirty ponds. The dirty pond is someone that still has a lot of shit in them, just a ton of shit. Yet, they have drank a little bit of water, and so that water's mixed in with all their shit, and people just drink from these dirty ponds. Those types of teachers are everywhere. They're in the hundreds of thousands on this earth, and people flock to them because they're thirsty, but they're still drinking dirty water.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal, though, is to drink from a lake, then from a sea, and then from the ocean. And my particular goal in paganism is to kind of open that oceanic energy up so people can drink from something different. But the second you do that, you realize people are not prepared for it, and they just keep running to dirty ponds.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the problem, it's the one fundamental difference that exists between Hinduism and paganism, is that one thing. And it's my biggest struggle with Wicca is I have people I know and people that I'm karmically tied to that just keep drinking from dirty ponds. And you turn their head a little bit and say, there's a lake here and there's an ocean over here. Why don't we pay attention to that? They'll pay attention to it for like a week and then go right back to drinking from a dirty pond. And it's in India where you're trained to drink from an ocean, and that's why people end up trying to find these enlightened gurus so they can open themselves up to that ocean as well. There seems to be more of desire in Eastern spirituality to merge into that ocean and never return. And that is what is different about my particular path than what I find is most commonly. I hear this crappy stuff around the world of Hecate. Oh, I opened the seventh seal, and then the seventh seal, the goddess Hecate came and said to me, you're going to write a book one day and sell the book for $5,000. And then I opened this other seal, and this other deity came to me and said, oh, you're so incredible. This is crap. You know, it is stuff I hear all the time. Goddesses don't speak like that. All of these big mysteries are inside of you. They are all on the inside. You can access them. And what opens a door for one is not going to open the door for the other. And that's why it's hard to speak about spirituality, because what may be useful for one person may completely shut another person down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so the age we're going into where that ocean is going to be more available, and we're going to have to go see some pretty intense world disasters to get into that other side, but the ocean will be available, and people will be intuitive enough to find that ocean in themselves. And that's where gods and goddesses then come into play. I am just stuck on the fact that we have the goddess Hecate here. I don't need to go suck from some dirty pond somewhere. She's there. She's the ocean. And you really don't need someone saying, well, this sigil and that, or sigil, the technical ancient term is sigil, but this sigil opens up this and this happens when you do that. It's different for each person. So the goal is eventually to get people to start drinking from more of an oceanic force, but you realize by knowing that certain and most pagans aren't really wanting that merging into the light. They want to still play around with these powers.
Yeah.
Have you guys?
Wow.
What do you guys think about this?
I think you're spot on. You know, I don't know. I have a tendency to, you know, I will practice with my sister, and there's a few other people that I will practice with on occasion. But I don't believe in the whole putting other people down for what works for them. You know, like,
True. Oh,
you didn't blow out that candle the right way. You should have snuffed it. You know, and I've actually heard that argument.
Oh, I have. I've been in that argument before.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck does it matter to you? You know, it's, I don't know, it's not a competition. And I don't like when people in the pagan community turn it into a competition. Oh, well, I'm this degree and I'm that degree. It's like, yeah, but you're only 20. You know, how much of life have you experienced?
I forgot about these cords. I just forgot about them until you brought them up. You know, I forgot all about that shit, you know, because it really comes down to going within and finding yourself. It's a very pure thing. It's very pure. There are these strange, dirty ponds out there, these teachers that kind of keep people deluding and drinking shit. It's intense. And it's really the hardest part I've had about that is there's nothing you can do about it. They want to drink shit. And there's this ocean of light, and that's where these deities are clean. All of them are. Even, you know, in this thing, you know, this topic, because I've been talking a lot about demons in my work lately, you know, demons are pure. They don't do any harm unless you karmically have created the imprint for them to come after you. They're friendly. You know, and it's funny because someone was talking about Crowley magic and how demons lie. I had this conversation yesterday. And, like, they lie because you don't trust them. In Tibetan Buddhism and in Hinduism, they're like, if you bow to any spirit as your mother or father, it will give you infinite wisdom. But if you believe that you're higher than that spirit and you can control it, then it's actually not going to give you any information at all. See, like, when Renalyn Crowley would talk about, oh, these spirits may not always tell you the truth, See, in Indian philosophy, that would be the fact that he was looking down at that spirit to begin with, as if he was higher than that force. Where if he was to shift that philosophy and say, you are higher than me, grant me whatever wisdom you want, that spirit would just shower wisdom on top of the person. We don't understand a lot of these things anymore, which is pretty interesting. But and I'm not out there acting like I'm trying to correct all this stuff and create a new little path for everybody. I'm just trying to create, you know, a little stream where people can drink from that's a little bit more pure. But you realize that nobody really kind of wants that. People like the dirty ponds. You know, the people, you open this gate and they're in the astral level. You know, the astral level is nothing. There are seven realms inside of your body that are higher than the astral realm, seven. They are the oceans that exist inside of your body. And when you touch into them and you activate them, the astral means nothing. When I hear people talk about the astral plane, I'm like, are you serious? Okay. Yeah, it's neat. It's more interesting than the earth realm. But when you touch the first plane of the first chakra and the first ocean of light opens up inside of you, you'll realize that the most beautiful thing on this earth is a far distant shadow from what that actually is. One lady was saying to me, well, you know, I don't want to die because I love life. I love life. I love the sunset. I love the moon. I love the sun. And I'm like, and that's because you haven't seen what happens on the inside. This stuff is just a shadow of that. It's just a shadow. Okay. Because when you hit that first inner, just the first one, when you hit that first one, there's nothing in this earth realm, sunsets, moons, that touch that. And that's, you know, going to India and being around these people who were done, who had went through all seven, and you feel that, it's the goal. And it quenches a thirst in you that nothing else can. And so that's, you know, trying to bring more of that oceanic goddess. And you know, Hecate, like I said in one of my hymns that I put out, she sits in the middle of that ocean of light, and she's that little black dot in the center. That she's even sending drops of that ocean out into creation. So like I've said this on the show before, you know, we were once all together in the unconscious bliss of the ocean. Hecate arrived, started individualizing drops of that ocean, and then spread them through creation just so they can go right back to where they came from in the end, but conscious of what they were. So we just go right back into her, but 100% conscious of our godliness and our connection to her, where we started out in that place but unconscious. And so Hecate sits in the middle of that ocean of light and just sends the unconscious ocean out and then brings the conscious ocean back. And, man, there is a day, and this reality that I'm going to say next is so real and it sounds so general, but when I felt it for the first time being around my guru, it horrified me. He looked at me and he called me Mahayogi. He said, Mahayogi, there was going to be a day you're going to forget this whole thing ever even happened. And it horrified me.
Wow.
Because in that minute, this light went through my body, and I forgot my name, who I was, where I was at, what was happening. And when I came back, I got up and walked right out of the room he was in. I was horrified. I mean, Jana was next to me. I don't want to forget about her. I don't want to forget about people I love. I don't want to forget that this happened. And over time, that ocean kicked in. I'm like, no, there's a day where you just forget it happened, and it's just some distant memory in the past, pretty much like what high school feels to me now. You know, just some distant energy in the back that it happened, but I don't really remember exactly what happened. When we merge into that ocean of light, you forget this whole thing ever happened. And you know, it's sad. If you don't take and this is a big lesson you learn in India, if you don't spiritually advance in life and you don't consciously merge towards that ocean, the only other thing that gets you closer is human suffering. That's it.
Oh.
So if you're not growing spiritually, then suffering is used as a medium to get you back to that place. That's what it's used for. Because, you know, as my teacher would always say, you know, hey, listen, life, it is a dream. And it's easier to wake up from a nightmare than it is a good dream. And he would say that is also Hecate's law. That whole suffering that we, you know, that she represents, that's her other way to awaken you. So you can either awaken through merging into that ocean, or you can awaken through her kicking the crap out of you. Those are your two choices. And that's why the goal of us spiritual people is to kind of move towards that ocean with consciousness so we don't have to deal with the other side of this woman.
wow.
Yeah.
And everybody said, wow.
Well, you know, and that comes from just the experiences, you know, of what this journey was like. I mean, there was, you know, 7 years ago, I was in India at an airport punching my legs so I wouldn't die. There was so much light going through my body from coming from Calcutta. I went to a Kali worship there, which was crazy. I mean, if I was to say what happened there, you'd go, how in the hell does that activate light inside of your body, including, you know, goat sacrifices and all this crazy Kali energy. But it activated Kundalini in me on such a deep level. I was in a Calcutta airport just banging my legs so I would stay in my body. And what makes life in the East so much different than here, if that happened to me here in the West, I probably would have been put away in a mental institution. But I left because it happened in India. There were people that knew exactly what the hell I was going through and came over and started putting water on my body and knew and started saying Shakti, like the Shakti's going through them. Hey, this is a good thing. He just got hit with something powerful. It's a totally different world here. I really don't know how to kind of open up the West to any idea of these greater oceanic forces, because there's always people I think that are going to get into it, and they go right back to the dirty ponds. I'll offer work for people. You know, hey, why don't you do this, and let me help you with this, or let's connect this way, and they'll just keep going back to dirty ponds. And I'm not saying what I am. You know, my guru would always say, be a stream that leads to the ocean. Don't be a dirty pond.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's sufficient enough for me to say that. You know, I try to be that stream that leads towards an ocean greater than me, and that's why the only thing I could do is point to Hecate. She is that ocean of light mixed in with these billows of clouds that are black. An amazing force of creation. Just point at her. You know, she can actually do that. So just get a mantra, create one by yourself, and just chant. Because that merges you there. All this other stuff is just it's distant from her. I mean, because the only voice that Hecate answers is longing. That's it. All this other stuff, as you learn in India about Kali, if you're not ready for the ocean, she sends her nymphs to you, other spirits. And she lets you play with them. And the people go, oh, my God, I had this great experience of Kali. She was this, that, and whatever. And Kali's looking at her and saying, no, that was one of my servants. You're not ready for me yet at all. And that's what a lot of people here are playing around with, spirits that are servants of her. When she comes in, and there are people that have experienced her, by the way. I'll never forget running into a few people that did experience Hecate, but most of them are experiencing her servants.
Wow.
Because she'll only answer the voice of longing. When you get to this point where you're like, you know what, I want out of this fucking mess down here. Can you give me something? She'll give it to you. And you ask for little bits at a time. You don't ever ask, say, get me out of creation permanently. I've had people say, oh, I want liberation. I want to be done. I want this to be my last life. I'm like, don't ask for that. Because she will come in and make certain it is your last life. And if she does that, she's taking everything. Everything. Because you don't go into the ocean with anything at all. So in India, you hear horror stories about people that ended up at a guru's feet saying, Guru, please give me God realization. Don't let me come back here. And the guru would say, don't ask for that ever again. Because the stories of the person who's persistent, when the master said, okay, fine, you get it, their life was removed entirely. Mm. The level of suffering. So we have to do the little bits of suffering a little bit at a time. So don't ask her for the end. Just say, give me a little bit more. That's what I do. That's what I've always done. My 20 years now of worshiping this dark woman, it's like, you know what? I'm ready for a little bit more. I can handle a little bit more, so let's do it. She'll grant that desire right away. She'll give you a little bit more. Don't ask for end game. That Wiccans aren't really asking for that to begin with, but that's the goal is to start longing, though, for that final and real death. That's the only death that there really is, because really all these lives that we have, birth and death, it's just a spirit changing clothes. One life, you have these set of clothes, and then it gets dirty as we get older, then we need a new clothes, but it's still the same thing. There's one birth and one death, that's a fact, and we're just shifting clothes in between, and that's the goal, is to officially merge into that light.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I have a question, please, if I may. Because, you know, I started following Hecate. It's not been that long for me. It's not even a year yet. And thank you for bringing me there, by the way.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And you know, not for nothing, my sister has tried to talk to me about Hecate before we met you, and I was stubborn. I was really stubborn, and I was. Remember, sis, I was worried. I was worried. I really was, because she was like, sis, you know, I'm really, Hecate is calling me, and I'm going that way, and I'm like, oh, I'm scared. I worried for my baby sister. It scared me. And she tried to, I guess I just wasn't ready. But she tried too. But yeah, you both, I must acknowledge my sister for saying, hey, no, it's cool. You're okay. This is going to be okay. And yeah, so I have to actually thank, and I apologize, sis, I should be thanking both of you together. So thank both of you. But I've noticed And when I talk to Hecate now, and I say, here's what I'm feeling, because I talk to gods the way I talk to you, you know, you know, I do have, obviously I do my moments of, you know, the prayer twice a day, and, you know, because it makes me feel good, you know, and I think gods like to be worshipped. So I do that for both of us. But when I tell her, hey, this is bothering me and I'm feeling pain from this, is it her alleviating the pain or is it someone else?
Well, you know, I don't want to establish any type of, like, hierarchy of this is, you know, we're advanced because we're talking in this way. My feeling is because of the doorway you walked into that you're mm-hmm. dealing with that force. You're dealing with
okay.
it. That's my opinion. I'm not going to verify that as a truth. I'm not going to, because a lot of people out there think they know fucking everything. I mean, I can't believe the shit that people think they know. You know,
and
my big statement I've been saying over and over again, because I've had someone go, oh, no, there's this guy, he follows the left-handed path, and he talks about spiritual mastery and all these various things. I'm like, well, you have to have some level of experience with it before you can really talk about it, for one. And second, you know, you can teach a parakeet to say I'm a human being, but it's still a fucking parakeet.
Parakeet, right.
I see a lot of these teachers out there uttering I'm this and uttering I'm that. Underneath the surface, which I do trust human nature, it knows what someone really is. It just knows.
Okay.
You know, and I believe you walked into kind of a bigger scene with her. And so I think you're dealing with that force.
Okay.
I don't like to say I know. That's just a
yeah.
feeling that you're dealing with her. And you should.
Yeah.
The idea that you had a little bit of fear at the beginning, I think that's
yeah.
wise. I think
yeah.
that's wise. Because
okay.
she's still the only force out there that scares the hell out of me. And what I mean by it, it's not demons, and I'm definitely not afraid of darkness. I love that shit. I'm talking about the levels of liberation she can bring. It's the only force that I've had moments of sitting down in front of my altar going, I don't know if I want a little bit more right now. I think I'd like a little bit less. And, you know, if you come in, I get a little bit more, and, you know, it's the whole spiritual path. It's the slow burn, as I call it, the slow burn. Because you have to slowly go through the burning of Hecate, slowly, like a burning of a glass, like a glassmaker. If they burn glass very, very slow, it becomes durable, becomes strong. But if you blow a glass too quick, it's not strong and it'll just bust. So the goal is to be burned very slow, so when you have that last realization come, your glass is so strong, you retain your body at the same time. And that takes many lives of what we call the slow burning glass method, so you can hold this force when she comes for the final blow. That's what a master is. It's in India. It's called a Sat Guru. It is someone who has been burned slowly over creation. So when their end game came, their glass was so strong they stayed in their body at the same time, and they just then sent the ocean out through others. But when you're dealing with people that are connected to her in the way that I am, I'm not connected to Hecate in the form that she's a goddess of magic. I love those things about her, by the way. But when I sit in front of my altar, it is about merging into that ocean of light. That is all that it is about. All the other stuff I do, I like magic. I do it for fun. I can't take it nearly as serious as this chanting and merging into her. That's my goal. That's the real practice, but I like magic and things like that for fun. It's like ornaments that she wears. So I'm trying to get people to reverse that, but in the meantime, I believe you came in and we're talking like this way right now. There are a lot of other radio shows out there. They don't want me talking like this. It's weird. It's not the Hecate they
really?
Know. Oh, yeah, it's very strange. As a matter of fact, the amount of the most negative comment I get from people about my books and all those various things is he talks about a Hecate I don't know. That's not the Hecate I know. I hear that all the time. It's like, well, hey, I guarantee you we're dealing with the same goddess here, but we're looking at her from two different set of glasses, 100%. I'm looking at merging into this force where you're still trying to use it for your own personal gain and advantage. It's a big difference.
Yeah.
I don't know. When you think you know everything, you're able to learn nothing.
It's true.
It's hard for people to say. People are so resistant to saying, I don't know. I have no problem. She has no problem. We have no problem saying, you know what? We don't fucking know. that's why I said, I'm dealing with this, I'm experiencing this. I think I'll ask somebody who probably knows better than me. I don't care if it's on the air. There's no shame in my game. I'm the first. And listen, if I don't know, I bet you a lot of other people don't know either.
Exactly.
And if I am the biggest moron in the room, y'all get to laugh at me. I don't care. That doesn't matter to me. I want to learn. I want to grow. That's what this is about, learning, growing, interacting, finding out stuff that I just don't know. Otherwise, why bother? If you need to have a show that only supports what you want to believe as opposed to something that might be bigger and more expansive and closer to truth, love, true life, authentic self, whatever you want to call it, I'm saying let's go that road instead. Let's do the authenticity. Let's do the real thing, not just, I want you to tell me about what kind of fabulous spells you create, and I don't want to learn anything that you may have to say. That's ridiculous. I mean, another one of our guests, everybody that we have on is basically somebody who I think is going to teach me something, and they do. I'm never disappointed.
And that's good. And also, because the whole path is about unlearning. See, human nature is about learning, where the spiritual path is about unlearning. You unlearn all of this shit. And that's why very analytical and really intellectual spiritual paths are self-defeating, because eventually when you start entering the planes that exist inside of you, it becomes an unlearning process. You just throw the shit out that you've learned because it doesn't matter. It's useless. It actually becomes completely useless. And at the end, the only thing that you are able to know is that you are one with her. And the philosophical components of all that eventually fall away, this is the thing where, chanting, which is my personal favorite thing, although there's other things that can be done to help people merge into that ocean of Hecate, chanting is my favorite. But it's not about philosophy. I do throw out a lot of philosophy. My book, Hecate 2, is like a philosophical, it's one of the most philosophical books I've ever had, so I'm trying not to be a hypocrite here. But in my personal life, that book was just it's something fun to put out there in creation. It's all about this great unlearning process. A lot of that knowledge and that information just tends to fall away. So really heavy analytical versions of spirituality are generally formulated from people who are really mental. And the spiritual path and going in, it's a very feminine process. Like, if you look at the Hindu gods, like Hindu Krishna, like, is that a man or a woman? Or is that a transsexual? What the hell is it? Because any devotion to anything is the power of the divine feminine in her most powerful state. She's devotion. And so even the inner life, it's about going in, which then when you're talking about sex, that's the woman's job to take that energy in. The whole spiritual path is about going inside and letting go of the philosophical components of it. And really speaking, the great masters of my time and even mine would just say, listen, pick a name that you love and merge into that name and forget the rest, because it's not going to go with you. But because people need intellectual stimulation, they run towards spirituality. I use music and movies and things like that for mental stimulation. I for spirituality, it's all about experience for me. I could read something, means nothing to me. I want to go in and experience this woman. I want to feel her energy moving through my body. And if I have a spiritual practice and she's not moving through my body, I'm like, what's wrong? Why didn't this happen tonight? Let's try it again tomorrow night. And if I get that, then I feel good. I am not, and it's funny because this conversation right here, if you were to live in my house, this is a common argument between Gianna and I. It's the most common one. You know, and my teacher in India would always say, listen, there's a lot of spiritual teachers out there. They're everywhere. And he would always say, imagine what your life would be if you moved into their home for 1 week. Get a feeling from that. And he goes, if you don't get a good feeling, the person's not ready yet. Because a truly, sincerely spiritual being, that person is felt by everyone around them. Everyone. So like if a guy came in to see my teacher and he was wearing a sannyasi robe and he brought his wife in and he would start talking about how much spiritual wisdom he had, Bao would stop him and go and look at his wife and say, is he a spiritual man or not?
Wow.
Most commonly, she would say he thinks he is. If you can go into someone's house and his wife, children, and all, they're like, yeah, I'm kind of living with a saint. Everybody knows. Everyone knows. The women around them always know what the hell is going on. So I am also like that. Someone can come in here and start chirping like a parrot.
Wow.
Say, I'm this, I'm that, I do this, I do that. I look immediately for the people around them and say, is this person impacting you in a deep spiritual way? Most commonly the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
Most commonly, you know, there's a lot of people out there saying a lot of shit, writing books, putting things out there, but if you move to their home, within 1 week you'd be like, get me the fuck out of this place. This person's a nutbag. Where if you can walk into someone's home and live, and you watch them live at every single moment of every day and then have really powerful experiences, you can't hide those things. You can't hide that.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to a place where your mind and your intellect slows down, see, Buddhists talk about stopping the mind. It's so important because when you stop the mind and you can literally just stop it, the ocean of her just descends right into your body. For whatever that moment is, the mind stops. So a really advanced being technically doesn't function from an analytical perspective anyways, because their mind is slowed down and they're receiving these high levels of current going through their body, which the intellect distracts to begin with, completely throws that shit out. The intellect is not spiritual. So information is great. My reason for writing Hecate 1, Hecate 2, and I'll be writing Hecate 3. A lot of these poems I'm putting out there are already Hecate 3 in the making.
Mm-hmm.
Why am I writing these books and then talking like this? Because I will do whatever I can to think about her more, feel her more, do whatever I can more. It's a practice on me. It's not for other people. Hecate 1 or 2 was not for people. It was creating projects for me to stay as focused on her as I can. Now, music is that right now. All, even the crazy drum and bass music I do, it's just another excuse to stay focused on her. That's it. That's it.
Hmm.
So I create my projects, and I'll probably create another analytical book, and people say, well, that asshole, he said, there's no, and look at this book. It's all about, you know, practices and all this stuff like that. It's just, if just do whatever you can do to focus on her and not focus on the self. Focus on being great or worthless. When someone comes in, I'm great, okay, you're an egomaniac. When someone comes in, I'm worthless, okay, you're an egomaniac too. You're just thinking about yourself.
Uh-huh.
Take yourself out of that shit and focus on her. That's it. Do it. Create whatever you can. And be creative with her. That's what the thing is, these rules. Oh, you just blew out the candle. Oh, my God, you ruined the whole fucking spell. Oh, you got to be kidding. You've got to be kidding me. It's like this goddess is so far beyond these types of things. The mind creates these rules that the goddess doesn't live in. You can be creative with her. I just had someone bitching and moaning on my Hecate Trimurti site. Oh, you worship Hecate as Kali, as Persephone, and Enodia as one being? Oh, no, I've never read any of that. That can't be true. I've never read that. That's what I'm experiencing, you moron. That's in me. It's not right for you. It's me. That's me. This is going on inside of this body. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
I do worship as Kali sometimes. I do feel Persephone inside of Hecate, but the word Hecate is the core. Those are the three forces that come out of her: Enodia, Kori, and Hecate. And Kali for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be totally different for you guys. Totally different. That's why it's so hard to teach people spiritually, and that's why people go teach these workshops and go. Why? Because my experience isn't someone else's experience. The only reason why I'll teach us. What's that?
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Please interrupt me, because I'm just like a fucking talking machine right now.
I'm not familiar with Enodia.
You know, it's a name. See, that I love the fact you said that, because I don't know, when I say that name, something very specific happens to my inner being. I feel Enodia as a red saffron queen. It's like Hecate as a red mother, where Persephone I personally experience as being white, like the heavenly side of the afterlife, where Kali I experience as the dark side of Hecate, the black side. So those three names, but Enodia to me has very, even me just saying it right there, as I even say the name, it has an effect on me. So does the name Kali, and so does Persephone, specifically Kori, you know, the maiden, the virgin. Those names just seem to resonate high in me. And that's it. But yeah, Enodia to me is, I've actually had her, and I don't always like talking about experiences, but it was the first major experience I had with her when I was in major practice, in part of my spiritual life, when I was just doing practices every day and nothing else. You know, there was a year in my life where I slept in a coffin for 1 year straight, and a lot of people around to see it and were like, I can't believe you sleep in a coffin every single night. I had
That's
Enodia.
Awesome.
I bought this real coffin online, and I bought this incredible mattress that would seat on. I don't move a lot when I sleep. I'm one of those people that all go to bed and wake up in the exact same position I went to sleep in. I've always been like that, so I like sleeping in kind of tight spaces. But I slept in a coffin for a year every night, and I had Enodia drawn on the door facing me when I'd close the door on me at night. And I would sit there and meditate on Enodia. And one night she came out in red, and she had a red veil on, and she pulled it off. And when she pulled it off, I just, like, the sounds of silly people screaming in agony. It was like hell came out of her. It was like this amazing experience. Now, I love that shit. So I'm like, ooh, there's my goddess. Here she is. And in the moment, I was, like, really trembling because it was so powerful. And the next morning I got up and tried to do it again, and it didn't work. And after like a week, I was like, God, I want that again. Never have I had that experience ever again, but it happened through the name Enodia.
Wow.
Scary. See, I, being an agora, which means it's about overcoming fear, I'm not always happy if she doesn't try to creep me out a little bit. You know, she, you know, it's like I like that feeling of being totally creeped out by Hecate. Like, she's, oh, my God, you just creeped me the fuck out. And she's done it. She has done it before. And I've had experiences where, you know, I wouldn't want to go through them all because it just would be a little bit too much. But, yeah, I've had a lot of experiences where I was shaking as the experiences were going on with a big smile on my face. This
wow.
girl is dark, very, very, very dark. Now, by the way, this is my experience of her. I have been around another Hecate devotee who never experienced Hecate like that, and I know for a fact she was experiencing Hecate. This is the way Hecate works with me. She likes throwing. This is the part of Hecate that I am, is that.
Right.
That's me.
Right.
That other girl, she was literally going, I've never had a negative experience with Hecate, ever. They've always been, but she'd explain them, and she started explaining Halloween and all these other, but like the beautiful side of Halloween, the beautiful side of the moon. And when she would talk, in the core of my heart, I would go, oh, my God, she's experiencing Hecate. And I'd go, I want to experience that one. I don't get that one.
Yeah.
I get this horrible goddess that just kicks the crap out of me. That's what I get. And she gets this incredibly beautiful form of Hecate, and I could feel Hecate coming out of her as she was talking. I'm like, no, she's really experiencing Hecate from my perspective. Yet it's not the same one as me. This is the only goddess that I really know when someone says they're experiencing something, it's coming from her, even if it's one of her spirits or one of her servants and not her herself. This goddess is in everything. So you can't ever tell someone that their experience of Hecate is wrong. I have had experiences of knowing that it wasn't entirely Hecate yet they're experiencing, but whatever they were still drawing from, this goddess can go in any direction. There are other deities that are very specific to very specific feelings, where I think that the experiences around those deities are more limited. But Hecate is infinitely everything. When she's a triple-faced goddess in the heaven, earth, the sky, I mean, she's everywhere. So there isn't a form that she can't take.
Wow.
So anyways, we were going to talk about midnight conversions, and that just kind of...
Well,
we had a funny conversation. Rain and I had a talk last week, and it was really, really funny. And we should probably shift the mood into that, because there's a couple of people that I live with around here that we've addressed this to, that it's time to start converting people at midnight.
Yes,
that
because
would be awesome.
We're sick of the door-to-door. You know, they wake you up on a Sunday morning with their little suits and their little pamphlets, and I'm talking about the seven-day Adventists, I'm talking about, the Mormons, I'm talking about the Witnesses, the Jehovah's Witnesses. And Jade and I were having this amazing conversation, and he had mentioned to me the concept of the midnight conversion.
Door-to-door.
We want everyone to get a red wagon and their statue of Hecate, black Hecate, enrobed in gold robes. Jade's going to bring his cat, which will drape around his neck. We need a minimum of a 6-foot Burmese python, albino. We need an owl.
I could probably find one of those.
Yes, we need an owl. And what we will do is we will put her in the wagon. Everyone has to be dressed in black, robes with hoods, complete black. And we must go. We will put Hecate on a trivet in the red wagon. We will spin her, and wherever she points, that is where we will go. And we will spread the word.
Spread the word of our Lordess and Savioress all over.
And we will knock on doors at midnight, and we, instead of waking people on a Sunday morning when they need to be asleep, we will wake them up at midnight when they should be worshiping and partying. We are not above sacrifices. We will take monetary sacrifice. We will take ex-husband sacrifice. We will do all kinds of things.
That is true. You know, that is my running joke, because I am what you call your open male feminist. I mean, I am a feminist to the core. I like female domination on every level possible. So I will never accept the talk of sacrificing of an animal or a female, but the sacrificing of an occasional bad husband is absolutely an option. So an occasional man sacrifice, I think, is good. you know, I think there needs to be one every once in a while. And so you were going to go to door to door, and you know, people are going to open up their door at midnight, and I'm going to be, have you heard about our Lordus and Saviorus? And it's going to be a little bit stern. And there's going to be an owl, a Burmese python, and I'm going to have my Hecate in a wagon.
And, that's right.
And we're going to start preaching the word of Hecate worldwide.
That's right.
Unfortunately, I think we'll probably be shot within 2 days. But who knows?
Oh. Yeah, that, you know, that's probably not a good idea starting in Hollywood.
Oh, I think Hollywood is set up perfectly for it, in my opinion, because I'm not even joking. When if we did this in Hollywood, we would convert so many people in a span of 24 hours. There'd be a bunch of people would just say, when can I buy my fucking robe now? I'm like, ready, I'm sold, I love the snake, I love the cat on your neck, I love Hecate in a wagon, let's get going.
Wow. Yeah, let's go.
The owl there. Oh, no. Hollywood, I think, would be a great place to start because I think the city would be very easy to convert to Hecate.
I can provide the robes.
Oh, I'd like that.
Yeah. And we, you know, I think start converting state by state, city by city, block by block, city by city, state by state. We could have Alabama converted in 50 years. It could happen.
That's the state that's like, wow, wonder what would happen if we tried to start in Alabama.
No.
That would be,
no.
I mean, I would at least have to take martial art classes for a couple years first.
It would be the fastest beginning and ending of a conversion process in history.
What do you think, which state? Do you think Alabama would be, is the... in consciousness, one of the most dense? Which one do you think, or like, what about, you know, like Mississippi? Does it compare to, which one do you guys feel is just way
well,
out there?
Well, Mississippi, you got to watch out for snakes and gators in Mississippi. Because when I came to North Carolina, I took a Greyhound bus, and we went through part of Louisiana and part of Mississippi. And their houses are up on stilts, and I had never seen that. I was a California girl. You know, I was born in New Jersey before that. And I was like, why is everybody's houses up off the ground? You know, is that like an open-air basement? You know, I wasn't sure what it was. And I had asked one of the women at the Greyhound bus stop that we stopped at, and I had gotten some food, which, by the way, that was the first time I had green beans with bacon in it and onions.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, that
mm-hmm.
shit is amazing.
That sounds good.
I was converted. I was like, I am never making green beans any other way. But she goes, you know, in thick drawl, you know, she's like, oh, that's because the snakes, you know, try to get up in your house. And I'm like, whoa, what? I'm like, okay, I'm staying in here, and then I'm getting right back on the bus. I don't know. Y'all can go to Mississippi. I ain't going back there.
Well,
I'm sure they got fine people.
Geographical problems. You know, here in L.A., it's like, oh, my God, I hate it here. I'm stuck in traffic. Well, Mississippi, oh, my God, I hate it here. There's an alligator on my leg twirling.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yes.
Those are very different problems, and that's pretty intense to live in. Well, you know, in India, a lot of the villages were just combed with, you know, snakes. And
mm-hmm.
there was a mongoose that was even seen in a village somewhere. The mongoose was a blessing to take care of the snake problem. And I've been in areas, you know, I've had crazy life experiences, you know. I mean, I had a heat stroke once in India. And this is funny, even though it doesn't sound like it. But I had this, I can't really call it a heat stroke. You just sometimes pass out, and that's what it's called. I was visiting a guru, Shirdi Sai Baba's tomb, and supposedly had a heat stroke. And now, in India, it's very common for people to go blind from heat strokes. I mean, if you get two heat strokes, you can actually start to lose your sight. Where I had this heat stroke at the tomb of Shirdi Sai Baba, and what they do is they put you on a bed with a mattress, and they put water on the mattress. Because it's hot, and there's a lot of places that don't have air conditioning. And so I was, you know, all my clothes were wet and doused, taken off, put on this bed, sheet that was wet put over me, and I was not coming back from being passed out. And around, I don't know what time, but I came to this planet, like from wherever I was, because I remember very specifically having a very powerful experience. And I opened my eyes, and it was jet black. And I went, oh, my God, I went blind. You had a heat stroke, and you went blind. I reached over, and I knew there was a lamp because I felt it, and I turned it, turned the lamp on over and over and over again, and it wouldn't come on. And right there, I'm like, it's because you're blind. I roll out of this bed completely naked, go and fill myself the door, open the door, and start crying for help. Like, help. Someone help me. I'm saying I went blind, all these various things. And then the power goes on where I'm at. I wasn't blind. The power was off.
And it was midnight. Wow.
And I'm sitting there naked in the middle of this hallway crying for help. And it was really, really embarrassing. So it was one of the funny stories, though, in my life, because at that time I took a bunch of my friends from Arizona and California with me. I took like 25 people to India and had this experience in front of all of them. It was very humbling, very humbling.
Wow.
But now, what does that have to do with snakes? My memory of that experience was the type of bed that you're in, there is a lining and these nets put around your bed, which you would expect to be to protect you from mosquitoes, but it was there to protect you from cobras.
Oh,
and when I reached over to turn on I had to move the cobra net out, but most people in this area sleep with cobra nets over their beds.
Yeah, no, thank you. No. See, it's still not as bad, and this is nothing against Australians, but I will never go to Australia because everything will fucking kill you. I mean, everything. Fish, birds, koalas, sand, dirt, people, alligators, everything will kill you.
That's really funny. You see those stories on National Geographic about Australia, and they have, like, rat invasions, like thousands of rats eating people, and you know, crazy stuff goes on. It's a world of Mother Nature out there. It is crazy. India is like that, too. When I was in Khajuraho, which is my favorite place in all of India, this place called Khajuraho. If you've ever seen the Indian movie Kama Sutra, it's filmed there.
Mm-hmm.
It's stunning. Ancient temples to the goddess. There's even depictions of orgies all over the outside of the temples. I mean, they carved like women having sex with men, orgies, crazy things are all scratched on the outside of these temples. But when I was there, it was one of the few times that a tiger alarm went off in the city, which means a tiger somehow got into the city and this alarm goes off. And I hear this alarm, I'm like, what the hell is going on? Because I see people running and I hear an alarm. Like, what is India? We're not being invaded. I'm in the central part of India. Tiger. Like, oh, tiger alarm. Okay, get inside.
Wow.
There's a place in India, in northern India, it's east of Calcutta, where they have 80 deaths a year from tigers. And they believe if you're eaten by a tiger, you can go on YouTube and type this up, you know, India, tigers, killers, or something like that, this will come up. And you watch these stories, and they believe if you're eaten by a tiger, it's your karma and it's your fate, and it's not a bad thing. They believe that death puts you right into the afterlife because the goddess Durga was on the back of a tiger. And if she selected you to be killed, that means she was selecting you to come home. And so they see it all very differently. Not that they're not trying to protect their lives, because as you'll see if you watch it, they are. But the ones that were taken are honored as having a nice journey back home.
What about the ones that are killed by lions?
You know, I haven't heard anything about it. Tigers were something case-specific to this village.
Wow. Okay.
Although, you know, you remember that movie, The Ghost in the Darkness, that came out? It was about lions that attacked a city in Africa. I had the rare enjoyment of watching that movie with my guru. And he would watch movies just to keep himself grounded on Earth, because he would float off into the ocean, and you'd actually watch him go. His energy would go into this place, and he was unreachable. His eyes would be open and looking at you, and he was somewhere else. So he'd watch movies to kind of keep him grounded, and I watched that movie with him. And I said, "What do you think about that?" And he goes, "No, those were black magic magicians, those tigers were." He said, "There's a practice that you learn in Africa where you chant one mantra a certain amount of time and you start traveling out of your body, and you can go and descend into the body of a lion or a tiger and take." Oh, I think I told you guys this before about a certain type of practice where you commit suicide after chanting a mantra a certain period of time, and then you can enter the body of a tiger to wipe out a village.
Yeah.
Well, he said that's exactly what happened in that movie, that there was this was revenge against things that happened to two people in that city, where they learned this magic trick and just started wiping out one person at a time. But I don't know what the tiger is symbolic of, like I do. I mean, the lion as much as I do the tiger.
Mm-hmm. I was just curious.
Wow.
It's funny how we call the lion, though, the king of the jungle. It's because it really should be the tiger. You go to a zoo and you look at a lion and you look at a tiger, the tiger is significantly larger. And a much better killer. A much better killer. If those two ever end up in a brawl, the tiger is going to take it. So it's funny how it's that mane and the kingliness. There's a royalty that definitely comes off the lion, no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
If you were looking at it as far as power, you might give it to the tiger. You got that, Raina?
I never thought about that.
We have a rat, a tiger, and an elephant on the phone right now.
You
the rumble in the
belong in the zoo, the San Diego Zoo. Da, 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 da. Sorry.
I've been to San Diego Zoo. It's amazing.
I haven't been there since I was 8. And that was, oh God. We went for, it was like right around Thanksgiving. My parents and I went technically, I'm an only child. I didn't meet my sister until we were much older. But we went and stayed at a place called the Himalaya Hotel, and I don't know if it's still there, but it was amazing. It was a wonderful weekend, but by the end of it, I was like, I want to go home and sleep.
Yeah, you know, a zoo tends to do that because you're in the sun throughout the day. I mean, it's funny.
Yeah.
I go to the zoo as much as I can, even the one here in Los Angeles. I like the Los Angeles Zoo. But you're in the sun a lot. You're anxious to get home and go to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I love to see, but this show right here explains the nature of Hecate. What makes Hecate the most amazing force in creation is she sits in the ocean, the infinite ocean of light, this little black force that just brings conscious through the world, yet she can also go right into a conversation about a zoo, or she can go into the mind of an ant, or she can go into the body of a prostitute or a saint. This woman has no duality, and that's my, you know, so I'm laughing at the fact that we went from talking about the ocean of light and God realization to zoos. But in reality, that is the way Hecate swings. You know, she just is like that. She's that goddess that there's no duality. She's not stuck in one place, where a lot of deities are stuck in a very specific place. They're stationed. In India, they use the word station. They're stationed somewhere. Hecate, you can't station anywhere. She'll move from that location.
It's
She'll
the
go
nature
somewhere else.
Of being,
you can't contain
nature,
a force like her.
It's the nature of being fluid.
Yes.
It continuously adapts and keeps moving, or adapts its surroundings and keeps moving, whatever it needs at the time.
and that nature is the most predominant in the feminine form. Women in their highest state function like that. And that's why, you know, you learn in India, women are water and men are earth. And a woman is constantly trying to give him more emotion, more energy, but more fluidity. Together, though, he's making her, giving her more structure, which they would compare love to bricks in India, because water and earth creates mud. Well, mud is used to create homes and houses and bricks.
Right.
But so Hecate is the ultimate woman because of that fluidity that we're talking about. There's no place she can't go. Where women, in specifically in relationships with men, will try to. And also, I've received some flack lately from the gays about saying, you talk a lot about women. What does this mean for us? Okay, it's not an external thing to begin with. It's an inner thing. The role of man and woman plays out in gay relationships too. Male and female plays out, so you can address it in that way too. Because I've actually had someone contact me recently, listen to one of my shows, and said, you know what, you know, there are a lot of gays in Wicca, and you don't ever really address, you know, that state. And you talked about the power of the woman over and over again, but I'm a man with a man. Okay, but even in those relationships, that's talking about the body internally, the role of male and female plays out in everything. You can even call it the state of positive and negative state. It doesn't really matter. But for me, Hecate is the ultimate woman, and as soon as a man thinks that he is strong in one area, her job is to come in and challenge that immediately. And a man's job is not to be upset about that. And I joked about Gianna. You know, two nights ago, I'm working on another CD. I mean, I'm going to have like four releases this year. And Gianna comes in from work. I'm in my office creating music. I got all my computers out. I got my bass guitar out. I have all these crazy things out. She comes in, and the whole house is dark because I've been in one place longer than when the sun went down. I mean, the sun was up when I started creating music. I didn't feel like getting up. I was creating a song. She comes in, why is the whole house dark? You don't have a single light on in this house, yet you're sitting there in front of these keyboards. Why don't you turn a light on? Okay, fine. The next day, the same exact thing happens. So I'm like, okay, it's time for Gianna to come home, so I'm going to turn on all the lights. So I get up from the computer, I turn on the lights, and I go back to creating my music, and she comes in and goes, why are all the lights on? It's like, well, because last night you just said that I was doing my creating music in the dark, and now you're upset because I'm creating. But you know what? It's the nature of mother. It just takes the form that is needed in order to break you down and to get you to keep opening up to something greater. So instead of getting mad, I'm like, okay, goddess, whatever you want. Let me turn a couple of these lights off. Because it's supposed to change. You can hear men talk a lot, and I go, well, women are nuts. They're crazy. You know, you can't ever satisfy them. I'm like, you know, and you have to kind of learn that that's not what it's about. You have to learn to let that force break you down. That's what it's, and you learn that India's the only place on earth where that's taught to kids early. A woman is water. She is going to keep wanting you to evolve emotionally and energy and break you out of your stuckness. Where then you are supposed to provide that strength for her to feel comforted. That's the goal of earth. And together, you create mud, which creates bricks and so forth. But yeah, that's Hecate. She's the ultimate woman. Whatever, you know, she's going to take whatever form she needs for that person in order for their advancement and their evolution. Which, oddly enough, the only Christian reference that comes close to that is the Holy Ghost. And this is why I've always, and I know a lot of, we don't like the references of Christianity. This Holy Ghost term is so much older than Christianity, by the way, so I have to address it that way.
Yeah.
Hecate is the Holy Ghost. That's what she is. And those two words apply exactly to her personality. She's everything holy in creation and everything ghostly in creation. She's those two words. She's both of those words. But the references in the Bible to the Holy Ghost were that which keeps taking the form of the devotee. And I'm like, well, there's Hecate, you know. And Hecate in this age is so amazing what she does because she is the power of the universe. There's nothing like Hecate. She is the power of it all. But still, in this age, can still remain submissive enough to stay in the background and let the men be up front. Because she could change that in a heartbeat if she wanted to, which she's going to. In the age we're going into, she's going to be in front. But how amazing is it? She can take 2,000 years off, and she becomes the goddess of yogis. She nurtures those that are going beyond the forms that we see. Like the major religions out there, she is able to use those religions to get the masses to direct their energy there, and so she can pluck out the the mystics, the witches, and then focus them towards her. That's amazing to me. She plays the ultimate role of a female, and that's going to change, though. Pretty soon she's going to put her face in front. And that's just the various ages we go through. But she has no problem with being a submissive woman and then shifting into the gear of the exact opposite, which is what we're going to see here next. She can do both. She doesn't care. Whatever's needed for that age and that devotee and that person. No other form does that.
She's awesome.
She's awesome. No other form does that. The Dark Mother is the infinite consciousness of the universe prompting its growth. And I said it over and over again. Yeah, what Christ did in 33 years, supposedly, she does every day and has been doing every day for all eternity and will continue doing that every single day. When I stress that Hecate and Wicca is supposed to be the highest religion on earth, it is. And when I see people struggling with Christianity, I'm like, why? You have officially come to the highest force in creation, and nothing compares to it. There's nothing like being around that force of Hecate that can go into the ocean of light and into the mind of an ant. She can go anywhere.
Yeah.
She has no duality, no boundaries. She is the wildness of creation, and there's nothing as high as her. And we found her. And that's, there's no turning back. There's no adapting Christian rules and throwing them in Wicca. And I call myself a Christian Wiccan or what? Because that pisses both sides off, by the way. No, the only person that's going to acknowledge a Christian Wiccan is another fearful Wiccan called a Christian Wiccan. Because Wiccans don't, a real Wiccan doesn't want it. We found the highest thing in creation. What do we need to tag that term to it for? And the Christians aren't going to like that. They don't want Wicca. So leave it alone. I mean, I hate that stuff. Can you believe I said I hate something?
I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. It's like stepping into two different worlds or keeping your foot. It's not committing to one or the other. You know, which me personally, I don't identify myself as Wiccan, but I'm more Wiccan than I ever was Christian.
And nor do I. Although I like the word, and the only reason why we don't want to identify it is we don't really like what everyone's doing in it, unfortunately. That's the truth.
Well,
I love the word. The word's amazing.
Old school, I love the word Wicca. You know, and old
But that's
school,
what I mean. You're saying old school because that still reminds you of a time where it was a little bit more advanced than it is right now. That's because I got into Wicca, and you know, here in L.A., it's a sad story because all these movies on witchcraft are coming out. Salem's coming out, the series, and what happens? It really because Hollywood, and this is interesting, paints a pretty powerful picture of Wicca. It makes these witches pretty freaking powerful. I love that, but what the problem is that hits the mass public, and the mass public goes, "Oh my God, I want to be a witch." And then they go and start learning from other witches and go, you know what, this isn't it. I don't want anything to do with this. And that is a big problem to me. That's a really big problem. I run into that all the time here in Hollywood, like, oh, no, I saw the movie The Craft, and I'm like, I want to be a witch. And then I started learning from other witches and going, this isn't it.
Yeah.
And it's right, and they're right. You're saying you're an old-school Wiccan because you're talking about that feeling that has been diluted now by all these other cons out there.
Exactly. It's so watered down, and it's like, basically the way they have it now is you can't do anything. All you can do is celebrate the seasons, and you're not supposed to do magic because karma's going to get you, which, yes, karmically speaking, you can kick your own ass. I just recently did it because I wasn't focused on what I was really angry about, and it was just sparking out of me because I was so livid and wound up, getting into a car accident. So,
you got a car accident?
But, thankfully I was the only one who got injured. I broke my wrist. I wasn't driving, but I was a passenger, and my two boys were in the back seat. My husband was in the driver's seat, and, we got sideswiped, and luckily we weren't any further. It crushed in the front end, but the airbag just hit my wrist the right way and just cracked a little bit of the bone. So, but I'm okay
sorry to
now.
Hear that.
Well, I did it to myself.
Yes, she did. And as the resident Wiccan who calls herself a Wiccan, which would be me,
yes.
I turned to my sister and said, "You're not going to do that shit again, are you?" And she said, "No."
No. See, that's what I started out as. And I respect people who follow the old ways, who know what it is, what it's supposed to be, who feel it, who live it every day. Not these, you know, not the people who play dress up. I mean, and that's basically all it is. It's people
yeah,
who
I saw
play
that
dress
today.
Up. Oh.
Someone was posting and sent me a bunch of pictures of, look at this guy, he's so amazing, and he's wearing a druid outfit. And
yeah.
I went, okay, if there's a guy wearing a druid outfit, doesn't mean he has anything going on, I'll tell you that. But
yeah.
It is, it's makeup, it's dress.
I worked for
well,
a rent fair for many years. Just because I dressed up as a wench didn't mean I was one, you know?
No,
a
you
wench?
Were
what does dressing
you
up like a wench look like? And do you have pictures
no.
of that you can send people?
Yes,
lots
can.
Of boobs. I will send you a picture.
I want to see. And did you say the word wench?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
I did.
And
I was a
creep-making
wench.
I have to correct her. She actually was a, you know, you were kind of wenchly. I liked it. It was hot.
Part
anyway,
witch and part wench, you know.
I have to chime in on something though. I really do. When you talk about people who say they're a witch and, you know, you kind of get sour on the term, I kind of liken it to going to a doctor and the doctor does nothing for you. Therefore, you dismiss all doctors? No, you go to the next doctor and the next doctor until you find the doctor that's right for you. It's kind of
exactly.
the same thing.
It's a very good devil advocate point of view, really.
Thank
honestly,
you.
I agree with that. Totally agree with that.
Thank you.
Yeah,
got a
absolutely.
Point in there. Yay.
Yay!
Just saying. You can, you know, all people should not be judged by the loud, obnoxious things about the, you know, and they always say the loudest and most obnoxious people are the people that get attention.
Exactly.
Not it does not speak for the entire group. All Republicans don't suck, I assume. Just the ones I know. I'm just saying. Just the ones I know. I'm sure there are Republicans out there who don't suck. I don't know them personally, but I'm sure they exist. So, yeah, it's kind of like that. You know, it's painting the broad brush. You know, Jade, let's face it, the people that come at you are coming at you because they're fighting whatever success you're getting or whatever notoriety you're getting. And that could be the specific you or the general you. It doesn't really matter. But those people that come out against somebody that hard are trying to just protect their own self-interest. That's really what it is.
Yeah,
exactly.
I agree.
Oh, shoot. We are at 90 seconds. God, I can't believe how fast this goes. Every single time.
That's true, very true.
I have to upgrade my package so we can have you on for like 3 hours.
Well, you know, and I will be willing and change things around to get on to the next show at you guys' new normal hours. I do want to work with you guys on that. And I already have it situated where that will work for me.
Yay.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, I have to wrap up.
Yes.
We love you. We're so
love
glad
you
you're
guys.
Back. We will schedule the next one pretty soon. And everybody, we will be back next week at 7. And we love you. Bright blessings. And
yes.
We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Night, everybody. Bye.
Night.
Bye. Night.
Bye.
Thank you.